So maybe you could just first tell me why you picked it.
Well, I picked it because I was intrigued by this rumor that I heard about Leigh Lozano choosing to not speak to women any longer. And so I wanted to bring her voice back into this discussion, or that voice rather, just to as a voice, and to try and embody it, for that reason.
And as well, I mean, in terms of, say, 1969 and now, I mean, do you think that maybe if she was writing this now, would she say the same things?
You know what, I think it's interesting. I think a lot of people say this kind of thing. I think it's very contemporary, but I will say the emphatic way in which it says, that this revolution must be total seems a little bit naive to me. I think there is something, though, about the moment of that a sexual revolution and a personal revolution need to absolutely be a part of this whole revolution when they could have focused at the same time. I would focus more on the material conditions in which all of these revolutionary moments occur, and not sort of pathologize it in quite the same way, personally. So there's a tension there, and I say that also as a feminist and a queer artist. So there's a tension there, is like, can the revolution be, does it begin and end in my pants? I mean, I understand that every kiss is a defiance. I understand that. Like, that there is something revolutionary in it. But I also think that there's something in terms of a total revolution that, you really have to make some focused decisions about what agenda is, and material conditions to be a part of that in terms of class and race. So, yeah, that's why.
And also within Art Workers Coalition, I mean, there are all these tensions because, there are these groups like Women, Artists, and Revolution, that started out of this, right? But then at the same time, there are people who had some very sexist attitudes.
I think they were doing it with a consciousness that I think is sort of maybe lacking in a way now in the present. And I feel like I can embody, and I do. And I think there's a now between me and the present as much as there is between, the past. But that's a little bit more abstract. Rather, I remember opening recently, I was going through Suzanne Lacy's feminist archive, and I pulled out this newspaper, and I saw a statement that began with, "I used to think I was smarter than other women." You don't read stuff like that in art journals today by artists. That was really candid, and it goes somewhere. But it seems there's a fear of saying things now, and that you can say very little and be perceived as a great threat. My name is what's interesting to me when I reflect on 1969. And when I think about a figure like Leigh Lozano making a statement about not speaking to a particular group of people, that's what's interesting to me.
Where did you find out about this? I mean, why she made that decision?
Because I'm working on this exhibition as a research assistant, and it's WAC Art and the Feminist Revolution, and it's going to be here in Los Angeles. It's like the first huge survey of feminist art. And so in the process of going through all of these books and archives and things, I'm sure I came across it. It'll be fun for me to continue to try and find out.
No, I think it is interesting. I mean, the sense that it's also what I like about the statement too, that it is emphatic. I mean, even the way it's actually written on the page.
I have to tell you, it's a lot like my handwriting. It's clear. It lands it. And that's why I respond to it.
I was just going to talk about this idea that we can't say certain things today, or there's certain ways that we can't speak today. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I'm actually interested in particular, in radical feminist and like Black Power figures who now would be perceived as terrorists. Is my now That's what I'm currently interested in, because in this moment, you can say so little. I just came from a demonstration downtown Los Angeles, and it was one of those permitted demonstrations against the war, for instance. There was no voice speaking that was a powerful, compelling vision kind of voice. That's okay. It can have to be singular. That's great. But at the same time, we were isolated. There was no witness to the protest because it was going through downtown Los Angeles on a Saturday morning. It was a silencing, and it's a systematic silencing. It's something that has to do with our oppression and how acute it is at this particular historical moment. It's worse than it was in 1969, I think.
This is really actually happening everywhere. Terrorism is being used in a very broad sense to basically shut down a lot of activism. I mean, as well, the other thing I keep thinking about is how do we self-censor?
Recently, there was a conversation with a generation of feminists, like Mary Kelly, Suzanne Lacy was there, Yvonne Rainier, you know, and then some younger feminists like Emily Roizden and I think who else, they were there, and then there was just this packed room of people. And oh, Andrea Bowers asks, does anybody have a fascination with sort of like bad girl, stuff like that? And I was like, stunned, because of none of the young ones did raise their hand. I think that's a self-censoring. Bad girls could be determined to be anything. It could be, do you at some point identify, at any point identify with radical feminist agenda? Nobody raised their hand. And I was like, you know, me. I kind of think Bernadine Dorn is awesome, you know? I kind of do, I'm sorry, you know? The older ones were like, be careful about who you identify with, because that's the identification with male authority in some way. And it was like, they said it was, they were centralizing that men were bad, basically, that the violence of a militant, you know, radicalized kind of consciousness.
Yeah, but that's been going on for so long. I mean, that's such an old stereotype, right? I mean, the whole thing about man-haters and...
But that's self-censoring, too, because it's a way of keeping women from imagining their radical potential. We make up more than half of the whole world. If we actually, even a portion of that global population of women accepted a true radical agenda, things would get better, period. I believe that. So it forecloses that possibility immediately. You know, we don't even entertain it, discuss it, you know, talk about it, or even romanticize it. It's not even our story. And I think that that's really sad.
I think there is a fear of being radical, and there's a fear of not fitting in. I think it happens in a lot of ways. I mean, like what you're saying with the demonstration, there's this fear of being seen as a terrorist. But I think also on other levels, right? There are things like, you know, am I going to get a boyfriend? You know what I mean? Like, there's that kind of social conservatism going on. I just had this very strange conversation a little while ago. I was talking to someone, I think they were teaching a class, and they're showing some videos by this guy who is HIV positive. And people in the class said, why should I care this person is AIDS? But he talked about as well, I mean, there's this desperate need to fit in. And partly that means not being seen as a political radical, but also I think it means fitting into society in a lot of ways, whether it's gender roles, but even having the wrong hair is bad, you know?
So, I mean, I think that makes me realize that there is something really radical about just being oneself. And just, so I think that there's still a lot to be said for sort of identity politics too, because of things like that, because statements like that come out, like, well, why should I care? He's HIV positive or he has AIDS, you know. But at the same time, I think that I'm impatient. I want all of it. And that's why I relate to the Lozano. I do want all of it. And she's saying, like, very clearly, the only part where I sort of shrink back a little bit, for real, is it's not the personal political thing. That's just a general problem. Like, I'm wary of it. Sometimes I find it dubious what people's agendas really are, because they never seem to get off the personal, you know, into the public or making changes for other people. That is our current generation's problem. That's what they did, is that they ended up just going into making a story about what they did when they were kids, indulging themselves on a rocking chair in the Adirondacks or whatever, you know what I mean? I wanted to tell you, though, Frantz Fanon, I was reading this quote by him where he was talking about how to speak is to sort of take on the whole of culture. And I was thinking about that because he was talking in terms of speaking French, you know, as a colonized subject, to take on the whole culture. He means it to take on all of the violence, but the whole thing. I read that recently. So I think that that relates back to this question. Does Lee Lozano choose not to talk to women or not? And why?